Good evening, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week, our guest is Rick Swirat of Westchester Arc. Welcome, Rick.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot for asking me on, Bernie.
It's our pleasure. And Rick, you've been with Westchester Arc for a long time, haven't you?
I have to say it. Yeah, 25 years.
And what do you do there?
I'm the executive director at the Westchester Arc. But a little of everything is in terms of the job itself. Everything from opening up the building in the morning and taking phone calls throughout the day, as well as trying to balance budgets.
That's an incredibly long time to be at one organization. What got you interested in this line of work?
That's interesting. When I was in college, I actually started volunteering in classrooms for special education. My undergraduate degree is actually in criminology and sociology, and I decided very, very late in that college career that was not for me. And I started volunteering with special ed classrooms and fell in love with the whole idea of teaching and being a special educator. So I went on from there and got my graduate degree and went into teaching.
Now, Westchester Arc wasn't always called Westchester Arc, was it?
No. Well, the history of Westchester Arc, and it's one of the founding organizations in New York State, New York State for the ARC, was actually originally known as the Westchester Association for the Help for Retarded Children. That started in 1948. And there are actually three chapters that kind of emerged out of that. There's New York City, Westchester, and Sullivan County. Many of the families were they all knew each other. As time went on, though, the organization name changed really to reflect the values of how we look at people, what kind of values we give to people with disabilities, and frankly how society has used language to disparage individuals. And so the word retardation over many years has taken on a very bad connotation. So we've changed over the years, and we went from calling our folks children, because there was a time when parents felt that their child was a child no matter what year, how old they were. Then we went to citizens. Then we went to Westchester ARC, and with no connection to the R word, but the R was still there. And now we've gone to ARC, capital A, small R, small C, with the idea that, again, we're trying to push our way away from using the word retardation.
So it's not even really an acronym anymore.
No, it isn't. It's not supposed to be. But, of course, everybody asks you right away, what it stands for. And the people that are our marketing people tell me I shouldn't answer that question because, it really doesn't have a meaning. And we try to work with saying that it is an organization that works with people with developmental disabilities in creating choices and possibilities in their lives.
Would it be fair to say, if somebody asked you, Rick, is the Westchester Arc the former Association for the Help of Retarded Children?
Yeah, well, we would say that, but we quickly try to move on, because part of the problem is that we really deal with a wide range of disabilities that are come under the umbrella of developmental disabilities, and that includes people on the spectrum of autism. We deal with a lot of different genetic disabilities, such as Downs. We deal with folks, especially young children, who may have developmental delays and eventually kind of grow out of them, and they move on. So we have to be very careful about how we typify and label our folks.
So you're not for profit, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so when you say you deal with adults and children with various types of disabilities, what is the ARC? What do you guys do?
It's A to Z. We start actually at birth, believe it or not. We have an absolutely wonderful service, which is a hotline in one of our family's homes. When a doctor or a clinical person in a hospital recognizes a child has been born with some form of developmental delay, they will often call this hotline, and we have parents who will go to the hospital and meet with the young parents and start the process of getting them familiar with what kind of life they're going to be faced with and how to deal with providing opportunities for the child. We quickly then move into early intervention services, later on preschool services. We support families throughout the school years in terms of giving educational advocacy. After the child graduates school, we then come back and start working on things like supported employment or volunteer work, residential opportunities. We provide legal guardianship, recreation services, and much more. It is a wide-ranging, all-encompassing program that tries to deal with the whole life of the individual.
Are there fees for these services?
No, there really aren't. You know, obviously there's parts of our organization where we're providing services where we don't have governmental support. And we depend on the generosity of our families, and we ask them for some contributions. Some of our recreation services may have a fee attached to an entry ticket or something of that sort that somebody needs to either get on a boat or, you know, go to a theater. But the agency itself doesn't have a fee structure.
Is there any way for the agency to determine whether or not a kid is appropriate to receive services?
Well, sure. We do have clinicians who are capable of making a determination as to what the level of disability is and whether we're the right organization. And believe it or not, this is not typical to most businesses, but we will refer people to other places if we feel that we're not the place of choice. There are certain types of disabilities that we do not have the expertise in, and there's no reason why we should mislead those families or those individuals. We also have a clinic, which we refer to as our wellness center, that has psychologists who are capable of providing evaluations. And by the way, those evaluations can be done in Spanish as well. We now have a multilingual psychologist on board, I think one of the few in the county. And we're able to define what the disability is and where the best services can be found.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Rick, that this is not necessarily an agency that focuses on kids. Mm-hmm. There's a huge population in America and in Westchester County mm-hmm. of adults with disabilities.
Right.
So what do you do for them?
For the adults, first of all, as I said earlier, we do provide work opportunities, residential opportunities. But I think that foremost what we do, and we do very well, is something we call person-centered planning. That is where we bring the family and the individual in, and we ask them one very, very strong question, and that is, what's your dream for life? What do you really want to be when you get done with looking at your life, and how would you like to live that life? And we try to actually establish a set of guidelines and values that that person really feels that are important. We look at it as providing services one person at a time, so that there is a menu that we can pick from. Maybe this individual wants to live in the community, but they don't want to live in a group home with four or five people. Maybe they want to live on their own and be supported differently. They may want a job in a more sheltered environment, or maybe they want a job on their own in a law firm. And, you know, in the past, we were only providing opportunities for people in very, very narrow settings, such as sheltered employment. Today, we do have people working in law firms, and who would ever think that people with developmental disabilities would be working side by side with lawyers? But we provide a lot of support to many businesses in a way that's entirely different than the way we envisioned the work experiences in the past.
As you know, our law firm, Littman Crooks, mm-hmm. is proud to be involved with that program,
right.
And it's worked beautifully for us and also for the individual who's working with us, and it's just a win-win. Mm-hmm. So I would certainly encourage local businesses to contact the Westchester ARC to learn more about this program.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And Bernie, you're one of the folks that serves as our calling card in for a lot of local firms, and I know you've talked to other attorneys in town. We have people at a number of other law firms in town now. We also have somebody working in the DA's office. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning we're having our annual employer's breakfast at the Marriott Hotel. My staff will kill me, I know, when I say this, but if anybody's interested in seeing anything about employment, come over to the hotel early tomorrow morning, and I'm sure I'll get you a seat at my table. I'd love to tell you. If you have a job for one of our folks, I'd love to be able to pitch it to you. But we do bring in folks to give credit to what they're doing. And our keynote speaker tomorrow is Janet DeFiore, our district attorney, who's going to talk about the experience that she's had with having somebody in her office.
Now, these are real businesses. I know one of the things that you guys do is you help with the scanning of the documents.
Yes. It's a very high-powered and technical business. We digitally scan documents. We also do microfiching. We do record retention. We have vaults where we have a number of high visibility firms here in the community, lawyers as well as financial institutions, where we are their file room in a sense, so that we digitalize these records, and we find that our partners in business are starting to realize that we can save the money. Just to state a very quick statistic to you, you know, just think about the amount of space that you're renting for your office space. I dare say it's probably somewhere between $40 and $80 a square foot, right? I don't want to hone in very directly, but maybe even more. And now take the size of your file cabinet and think about what you're renting for space for those file cabinets and realize that that's all dead. You know, that you're not using that space very effectively. Now think about a digital disc. Think about, you know, just putting that in your desk drawer. How much less space would you have to rent as a result of that? That translates into a real business partnership. That means that people with developmental disabilities are helping you produce a more efficient economical business. So there is a strong partnership. And then that also is true when they work in your office. We do many jobs that are very necessary for you, whether they be handling your file room operations or shredding or whatever. You certainly are not going to hire somebody with a law degree to do that in your office, but you need that done. It's a very necessary part of your work to be efficient. Our folks love to work in the office. They're very happy with the fact that they're going to do something that you don't want to do, and they're going to do it probably better than you because they're going to pay attention to it, whereas you're doing it just to get it done.
We're speaking with Rick Swirat from the Westchester ARC, a wonderful organization located right here in Westchester County. Rick is the executive director. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. As you know, we've got offices right here in White Plains, New York City, and our new office in Dutchess County in Fishkill, just north of Route 84. And our guest this evening on the Bernie the Attorney show is Rick Swirat from Westchester ARC, and Rick's the executive director. And Rick, we've been talking a little bit about what happens as the kids get older and become adults. And, you know, one of the biggest concerns that we hear clients tell us when we do our special needs planning is, what's going to happen to my child when I'm not here anymore? Does Westchester ARC have a solution for that?
Well, we do have a solution. It's called guardianship, corporate guardianship. And I'd like to step back for a moment and talk to the fact that, and a lot of people don't realize, is that any individual, when they hit 18 years of age in the state of New York, at the age of majority, which means that they're emancipated. It doesn't make any difference whether you're cognitively disabled or you have physical disabilities or you're a genius or whatever. You're now emancipated. Now, where the problem arises is that with people with cognitive disabilities, if they can't understand how to deal with contractual relationships, making decisions on behalf of other things in their lives, they may be taken advantage of. I was executive director prior to being here in Westchester County, in Ulster County, and I remember one day the DA's office calling me up and telling me that one of my clients up there at that time had just purchased a house. And I knew this individual very well, and there's no way in the world. He worked in a workshop. He was making maybe $2 a day, you know, and but he signed a contract. Fortunately, we were able to point out that we had guardianship of the individual, and that contract was null and void because he couldn't sign a contract. And there's similar types of stories like that. So it's important for families to seek guardianship at 18 years of age or just prior. And we will assist the families through that process. We're not attorneys. We do not go to court on their behalf, but their paperwork is pretty simple. And if it gets more complicated, then certainly we have lists of attorneys who are willing to help. And these attorneys, like yourself, understand 17A guardianship, which is pretty technical type of guardianship. What this allows the individuals to be guardian of the person, not property. And that means that we're there to do things like medical consents, to assist the person through their life decisions, to sign papers that help them get into the right kinds of services and things of that sort. Usually starts with the family having that responsibility, but at some point the family gets older, and there may not be anybody around any longer who can serve as a guardian, and we will be on the succession papers on the guardianship, and we'll take over responsibility upon the passing of the last family guardian.
So who does the financial, let's say the person was left some money in a will or something, who would take on the financial responsibility?
Well, our foundation, the Westchester ARC Foundation, does have a couple of trust vehicles, and also NYSARC, which is our mother corporation in New York State, has a couple of trusts. And we encourage our families to take a look at those and to work with their family attorney and make a decision as to how that could be managed. And there are different trusts for different kinds of reasons. The reason why the trust is so important, though, though, is that our people, because of the nature of the disabilities, are entitled to certain kinds of financial supports from government, and that includes SSI and Medicaid. We certainly hate to see families leave money on behalf of their individual, because then what happens is the first instance of payment are those dollars that are left behind. They're not the dollars from government. They lose their entitlement in a sense because they have assets. So these trusts are allowed so that they can be there to support those extra valued things in a person's life. We have a young man who at one point when he grew up with his in his family's home used to have tickets to the opera. Every couple of weeks, his family were opera buffs. They actually knew Beverly Sills, and they used to enjoy this as a family opportunity. I don't know anything about opera, but this guy could talk a blue streak about all kinds of operas. And so our guardianship, through our trust, he was able to purchase opera tickets periodically after his parents passed away because that was his life. That's what he enjoyed, and he had a right to do that.
You mean the government won't pay for that?
No, the government won't pay for opera tickets, no.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you're raising an excellent point that the services that the government's going to pay for are really bare bones, minimum.
Right.
And to leave the money outright to somebody who's getting those services means you got to spend that money first, and then you go back on the government benefits.
That's right.
Without the benefit of having the opera fund.
That's right. And it's important to have the opera fund. I mean, we all and some folks will say to me, well, why is that? They're getting this government support. Well, because all of us in our lives have something that we value that is individual and specific to us, whatever hobby it may be or what kind of interest we have. And certainly this allows that person to be protected under the governmental funds, which are your very traditional, standard, protective kind of environment, and then to have that life that you enjoyed as a member of your family so that you can continue to have those interests.
Yeah, I think that's critical. Now, you know, the work of the Westchester ARC is done by many, many people. Yeah. Some employees, some volunteers. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the structure.
Well, it's a family organization to start with. Our board of directors are largely family members and also self-advocates. We have two self-advocates in our board of directors. And why that's important is because these are the folks who are really dictating our policies and how we operate. Certainly a family member is going to be a lot more cognizant about how we should hold on to our values. That doesn't mean they don't understand things like corporate compliance and Medicaid law. They do, as you do, Bernie, very well. But when you sit in a board meeting with us, and you are a board member of Westchester ARC, you try to measure what our policy supports should look like in terms of the value of a person's life. And that, I think, is a little bit different. So those are our big volunteers. Those are the folks that they really put a lot of time and effort in. Every one of our board members must put in at least, I would say, 10 to 15 hours a month, because of the amount of demands we place on you. We do have 700 staff, but those staff are often supported by volunteers. We have probably another 100 to 150 volunteers, and they're usually connected directly with an individual. They may be involved with taking somebody out to a ball game or visiting them in a group home or doing something special in terms of a hobby where we don't have somebody on staff maybe to do photography or something. We need a photographer to come in as an example. So we use volunteers in that way. We also have volunteers sometimes to say, look, I just want to work in the office with you just to learn something. And that's also fun. We have a lot of volunteers around to help support the ongoing fundraising events we do a little bit of office support in those events, and make sure that we look good when we're out in the community.
You mentioned earlier, Rick, that there are minimal or no fees for these services. So where does the money come from? Is it grants? Is it donations? Are there fundraisers? How does that work?
Well, the largest amount of money that we get by percentage is about 80% of our budget is Medicaid. And that is new to our system over the last few years, that Medicaid has taken over, particularly in New York State, as being the primary supporter of services. The next highest amount of money comes from the State Education Department, and that supports both our vocational career programs as well as our preschool. After that, we may have some contracts directly with businesses where, you know, we are providing work. And then we go to our fundraising. Our fundraising for operations, and this is on a budget of about $50 million a year, we need about $400,000 to $500,000 for fundraising. And that's to provide those value-added services. The guardianship program, for example, is about $200,000 a year. In addition, right now, we're finishing up a Catholic campaign. And we just finished, we're finishing up the building of a brand new building in Hawthorne. It's a 50,000 square foot building, which is going to feature predominantly an art gallery for people with developmental disabilities. It's going to have a large suite of family networking rooms so families can put together groups and start talking to each other about their needs. We also have our wellness center there and many other opportunities. We have a large training center, and we're going to be webcasting training throughout the state of New York. And that building is being built almost exclusively on fundraising and assets from the organization. Part of it is the sale of a building. The other part is fundraising. So that there's no governmental funds there. I mean, where do you get? I can't think of many buildings that not-for-profits are building in a community today where we can turn around and actually say, this is our money. You know, this is not government money. So our families are very generous. They understand that, yes, the services may not require them to be paid for, but they also know that there are things that we need to do to advance the value of the organization, and they do step forward.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Rick Swearett from the Westchester Arc, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And we're speaking with Rick Swearett from the Westchester Arc. Rick's the executive director. And before the break, we were chatting about fundraising, and we're talking about the new building. What else is going on in the world of fundraising, Rick?
Well, before I give you the specific dates, I want to encourage everybody to look into a website, and it's our website, it's www.westchesterarc.org, and you'll find out everything you need to know about our services and our events. And you'll see on that website a calendar of events, and there are a number of them that are coming up that are really quite spectacular. One of the fun ones that are really I'm looking forward to is Golfing for Kids, and that's on June 3rd at Westchester Hills Country Club. And you can find information regarding teams and the costs and all that on our website. The funds from this go directly into a fund that we have set aside for all our children programs. So that is awfully important for supporting our preschool and our other children's programs. We also have an event in the fall called Matter of Taste. And if I remember correctly, it's October 21st.
21st or 23rd?
Okay. It's some
one of those.
One of those. Well, you look on the website. Yes. I mean, I don't have my calendar here in front of me, but it's on the website, and that's at the Westchester Country Club down in Rye Brook.
I think you're right. The 21st. It's a Tuesday night.
Okay. It's a Tuesday night. Okay. You got your calendar in your head. We're just starting to prepare for that. So that's a fun event where there's about 20, 25 restaurants that come out, and they prepare their special dishes, everything from salads to entrees to desserts. Plus, we have the brewery from Pleasantville. We have a number of wine purveyors, and we have a silent auction, and that supports a good deal of our general programs throughout our organization where we have small deficits. I also remarked that we have an annual meeting coming up on June 12th. That's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel. That's free. It's for the members, but we do have an art show and an exhibit that's going on that night. We're pleased to say that Commissioner Ritter from Office of Mental Retardation coming down to talk to us about what's going on with the state budget. So that's going to be very informative for our family. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in developmental disabilities, you're a family member out there, I'd love to have you become a member of our organization, but certainly we're happy to provide that to you. We lost an event this year. We had an event for 23 years with the MBIA out of Aramonk, and that event has been canceled this year for all the reasons of what's going on in the marketplace, but MBIA remains a generous partner with us. So this year we're trying to re-enkindle that relationship, and we're hoping to have another golf invitational in September, which will bring in other businesses as well, and we're hoping that comes back.
And for more information, just go to westchesterarc.org.
Yes.
And then all the dates will be crystal clear.
Everything is there. Everything you wanted to know.
All right. A couple more minutes here, Rick. I know that the organization gets involved in legislation and advocacy. Tell us what some of your priorities are.
Well, one of the things that's facing us right now is on the federal level. There are a number of federal initiatives actually right out of the president's office to change Medicaid rules. And changing these rules, it's a very archaic system. It's very hard to understand, but basically it will diminish the amount of dollars they'll be able to support much of our supported employment programs and some of our clinic services. So we have a number of our local legislators on both sides of the aisle that are supporting us and trying to get those rules not to change. But the president's been pretty stubborn about vetoing every initiative along the way where they've tried to change these rules.
So maybe we need a new president.
Well, one way or another, we're going to get one. You know, hopefully the new president will recognize the need for this. And then on the state level, we fought very hard this year to remind the state that the Medicaid that they're bringing into the state should be distributed properly to services for development and disabled. We were able to protect those funds this year. But that continues to be a concern as all state and federal budgets are looking a little tighter as we go into 2009. We have to make sure that there is enough concern about people with developmental disabilities that we don't diminish their services.
I'm Bernie Crooks, your host. We're talking with Rick Surratt, and we're going to take one more short break and be right back to finish up. Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. All right, Rick, in the last minute or so, tell us what some of the biggest challenges that are facing the agency today.
The biggest challenges we have really are challenges that we have with families in the community who have very, very specific needs. One is has to do with families that have people on the spectrum of autism. That whole area is growing, as you know, you've seen the statistics. I don't know which one statistic to believe, but we work with the one that says one out of 150 births are related to somebody on the spectrum. And everyone on the spectrum is different. So it's not like there's a common approach to any one of these kids. They're all different. We need to really get better at providing services and supports to those children. And on the other end of that is people who are aging. People with developmental disabilities are getting older. In the past, they would pass away early because of lack of medical care. Today, we have people in their 90s who are starting to show other kinds of signs, and they're dying of the same things that you and I that need to be cared for in the community. So we're learning a whole new field of working in senior years, aging years, and trying to support people with medical needs that are different than those that we've in the past had.
So you're not running out of things to do?
No, we're not at all. The day is always very exciting when I come back.
I want to personally thank you for all the good work that you've done and the agency has done over the years.
Thank you, Bernie. I thank you for your time.
And Rick, thanks for being a guest on the show.
Thank you.
This has been the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show. We'll be back next Thursday evening at 6:05 p.m. Good night, everyone.